The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Reverend Natalie Owens Pike in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Natalie Owens Pike.
Friends, today we celebrate the day of Epiphany. Perhaps you associate this word with a breakthrough, an aha moment, a revelation of sorts, a long-awaited discovery of something previously unknown. And in the Protestant tradition, this day represents one of the ways that Christ is revealed to us to be the Son of God. Epiphany to the early church was one of the three major celebrations of the church year, as important as Easter and Pentecost. And we now celebrate this revelation as a whole liturgical season from now until Ash Wednesday, considering the manifestations of Christ's divinity in Christ's life on earth. And traditionally, on Epiphany, many churches return to the Christmas story for its finale. We hear tell of wise ones making their journey by following a star. We three kings, you may sing. But this year, instead of the gospel chapter, instead of a tale with characters and narrative, no, this year I just felt like reading some prophecy. Some prediction, an oracle rooted in historical context. I don't know, there was just something about this crossing into 2025 that made me feel like I need to hear a prediction. Maybe it's our fears or our deep hopes of what this year could bring that makes us ask of God, what can we expect from the year to come? God, who walks with us across all thresholds through all darknesses. Lord, who comes to us not as a ruler of conquering armies, but as a newborn babe. What comes next? I am curious, too, about what we might learn from prophetic scriptures that address God's interference in geopolitics in the time of ruling empires, in a time of exile and migration of peoples. I wonder, in our own hour of geopolitical need, what these scriptures might reflect back to us. For this is the very same Isaiah who just one chapter prior to the one we'll read today, cautions us against times where turning away from following our God, conceiving lying words and uttering them from the heart, makes truth stumble in the public square, and uprightness cannot enter. Because before we can really hear the revelation today that the light will come, we must know a little of the darkness into which this light shines. These chapters of Isaiah come to us from around the 6th century BCE in the aftermath of generations of Babylonian exile. This prophet speaks to the Israelites who have recently returned to Jerusalem, aspiring to rebuild their temple and resume their ways of life. But this restoration, like many, was not simple. There was strife and conflict and disagreement within the group about how to repair the wounds and the walls. And I can imagine there might have been a lot of people asking, where do we go from here? Let us listen now for Isaiah's response. The story told generations before the three magi set out to the manger. Listen now to a reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, Happy New Year. The planet turns, we crack open that new calendar that says 2025. And isn't this a well-worn story? Predictions are being made about what this year will hold. We make promises to ourselves, perhaps, of abundance, of reunion, as our scripture describes. Or maybe how we might arise and shine differently, better, every morning in 2025. But I have a New Year's confession to make to you. I am not starting this year with a clean slate. I have failed at one of my 2024 resolutions, which has now rolled over into 2025. I am an avid reader of fiction and a lover of libraries, and in 2024, I somehow amassed a collection of library books. Most of them are books I finished and enjoyed, yet for some reason, they have not yet made it back to the library where they belong. So I confess that if you have been waiting patiently for months to receive an almost brand new copy of Maggie O'Farrell's beautiful novel, Hamnet, which I very much recommend to you, I am so sorry. It is in my office right now. I still have it. I fully intend to return it. But why can you only return books when the library is open? And why does the library close at 6 p.m.? Please share your wisdom with me, fellow working adults of New York with a commute. How are you returning your library books before the doors close? Some of you told me after the 9:30 service that you're supposed to go at lunch. So this is my new tactic. But I tell you this confessionally because I want you to know that no matter what the barrage of targeted ads on the internet are telling you, it is okay to not have launched into the best version of yourself on day 5 of this new year. And I also tell you this to help you hear the invitation in today's scripture that the light of God will come on earth not because of how hard you have worked to earn it, not because of your report card of good deeds coming out of 2024. And yes, it will come even for those of us whose overdue library fines have currently exceeded the values of the books themselves. So I tell you this, trusting that if the promises of Isaiah's prophecy will come to pass for all of us flawed humans, how do we make sure we're paying attention when it arrives? How do we look up and see the radiant presence around us even when the skies are darkened? Arise, this scripture begins. Shine, awake, greet the new day, for we must be sleeping, not paying attention, as this passage addresses us. Maybe we are hibernating, nestled into the warm covers of this wintering part of the year. Maybe we are hurting, overwhelmed by the news or the facts of our lives. Maybe we've become used to looking around at darkness that to look directly at the light stings a little. Still, Isaiah begins here, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. wake up, look up, the glory of the Lord rises on us, shines through us, reflecting to each other the truth of this kept promise, God with us. And this Hebrew phrase, risen upon you, this echoes a phrase first used in Genesis, when God's Spirit hovers upon the waters of creation. It echoes Psalm 112, when the light arises in the darkness. From nothingness to creation, from darkness to light, transformation is afoot in this scripture, friends. Foreigners will bring gifts, Isaiah tells us. They will come from afar. They will cross miles and languages and cultures, not as consequences of military conquest, but drawn by the light, by the glory we have waited on. This light of God that reaches out for us, even as a twinkling star in the sky, daring to tell this prophecy generations ahead of time. For God so desires to close all distances and all darknesses to be near us. Near us in the vulnerable eyes of the newborn, honored by the wise ones mere days after his birth. Now, this prophetic teaching comes generations before that birth. Comes into a time of upheaval, of scarcity born by war and conflict, and it comes down through the ages to our listening now. For if you are tired, if your hope has been dragged through the mud of conflict or the slung mud of headline after headline, if your eyes squint a little at the prospect of coming light, hear this invitation to arise, shine, to see the light that has come. This past week, I was lucky enough to spend a low-key New Year's Eve in rural Wisconsin, where my dad lives, alongside family and dear friends, and we cooked a big festive meal together, and afterwards, we all needed a little post-dinner walk to start digesting. So we bundled up and went out into the 15-degree cold, which some of you know I love. And we went out walking in the dark, us city dwellers with no headlamps on this impromptu adventure, but our eyes kind of adjusted a little and we tried to make out the paths between the trees. And it had been brown and bare with no snow all week, which was very disappointing to my Minnesotan heart. You may have heard me lamenting the snowless ground here in New York. But just trust me when I say there's nothing like the crunch of snow that happens when it's below zero. And I keep telling you these winter stories to convert you just like a little bit at a time. But throughout the afternoon on New Year's Eve, despite that brown, bare ground, all of a sudden these magical fat snowflakes started falling. And my dad, who looks at several weather-related apps and websites and radars daily, including a wind map, assured us that this snow was a miracle. It was not predicted by the weather professionals he follows. It was so cold, it shouldn't have been snowing anyway. These flurries weren't even showing up on the Doppler. But there they were, falling anyway. And by the time we got to this post-dinner walk, they had covered enough of the ground that when we went out into the darkness, the paths of cut grass kind of glowed a little. Tiny sprinkled snowflakes, one at a time, lighting the way. Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So let it shine through us to each other. One of the ways we invite you to practice this in the year to come is by drawing a star word. This is a practice we've done for the last few years. And during the offertory anthem, you'll be invited forward to draw your star word from a basket, or if you're worshiping online, to open that envelope you received in the mail, and you'll draw out a word to guide you this year. A little bit of light, a direction, an intention, the focus of a spirit-polished lens for your prayer life in this year, for all of your looking in the year ahead, so that each of us, interconnected, lights the way to the glory of the Lord. We can illumine for each other as this scripture calls us, not through force, not through might, but by shining forth what God has arisen in us. For these are the promises we make to each other in faith, that the light will come in the darkness. It may be after a long wait. It may be far in the distance. It may only glow a little. But you must be awake to see it. You must brave the dark or get out in the cold to look for it. Maybe this kind of thinking sounds like an optimism that isn't helpful. Maybe it doesn't answer the questions that you hold. And that's okay. In fact, the prophetic texts as a whole take up this concern. Whose prophecy comes to pass? Whose teaching becomes truth? And whose is just false doctrine, fake news, more targeted ads pulling for your attention? Beware, the prophets tell us, those who will profit from the glossing over of truth. Beware, these texts tell us, the dilutions to your hope, those who call only for your despair, those who offer a quick solution to a quagmire. Beware those who tell you the darkness is for your own good or that God has a plan for it. No. No, let us read Isaiah as spoken by and for a small group of survivors, having been through generational darkness, looking bravely, not callously, for a glimmer of hope. For this text is not a report of what has been, but a resolute desire, willing it to come into being. This text doesn't say it was never dark. It says we can see the light for what it is because of the dark we have encountered. So yes, this kind of looking for the light that your star word will shine, or the light of what's good in the face of so much that is hard, this kind of looking can be a challenge. But I know that this way of looking can also be a way of saving us. The star in the east, the generations-long hope in the prophetic promise, a God-polished lens through which to see each person you encounter on your way. So look not to the rhetoric that profiteers. Look not to economies of despair. Look up for the light that will focus you, however faint, on your path ahead. Look up for even just a few miraculous, unexpected flakes of snow can make the path legible in the dark. Friends, you carry forth with you from this place the light of a star. May the light of God shine where you need it most. May it shine for the light of God's justice, mercy, and peace for all peoples. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.